I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Producers Wealth. If you're interested to set up your infinite banking policy correctly and have access to a coach that will help you use your infinite banking strategy to grow your business and your investment portfolio, and having your capital work in more than one place simultaneously, and protect your capital from market downturns, taxes, predators, and creditors, you can watch a presentation of exactly how you can do this at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Dave Walcott from Pantheon Investments. He's been a guest on the show before, and Dave always just brings incredible value to all of our listeners and our viewers. I would highly recommend you check out all of his previous episodes recorded with me at cashflowninja.com and just go there and type in Dave Walcott. We've covered a range of topics from how to create a holistic wealth strategy to multifamily real estate and more lately, the oil and gas investments that Pantheon Investments are involved with. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Hey, MC, always great to be here, my friend.
So for folks that are not familiar with Dave Walcott and Pantheon Investments, the first thing that I would highly recommend that you do is go to cashflowninja.com, type in Dave Walcott. We've recorded some incredible content through the years on many different topics, whether it be holistic wealth strategy, whether it be different types of investments, real estate, oil and gas, which we're going to get into this one too. So definitely check it out at cashflowninja.com. But for our new listeners and viewers, Dave, that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you please share a little bit about your background and your story and all the fun things that you're up to?
Yeah, absolutely, MC. So it's interesting, right? I went to school in college at George Washington University in DC, and you know, was brought up in a middle class family, just like probably many of you out there. And I thought the recipe for success was to, you know, go to school, get a good job, right? Get good grades, and you know, you just climb the corporate ladder, right? And that was the recipe for success. So I kind of headed down that path. And then after I got out of the Marine Corps, I just quickly realized how frustrated I was that there was, you know, no sense of purpose, no sense of mission. You know, people would really kind of stab each other in the back just to get ahead in the next 90 days and things like that. And then in 2000, my wife and I actually won the baby lottery and had triplets. And so that was really the turning point for me. I mean, just to realize that our family had literally quadrupled. And now the first thing I did was go see my financial planner. And I go in and say, you know, how am I going to do this? The goalpost just got moved out even further. And, you know, all they could tell me was the same thing that they ever said, you know, which was dollar cost average. You know, you can invest in a 529 plan, right? So, you know, I started following these things, but I really became fed up with that type of response. So what I did was created this obsessive journey to really figure out how the top 1% are building their wealth. And so for the past 20 years, I built a few businesses and I started investing in everything from oil and gas back in 2000 to raw land, to multifamily, to retail, all kinds of alternative asset classes, and really have been, you know, studying how the wealthy are building their wealth for the past 20 years and really ultimately created, you know, our investment thesis today.
It's a incredible journey, and especially with the focus of the alternative asset world, right? And doing things differently, like the 1%. What are your thoughts these days on just the reality that's hitting folks, right? Of this, I wouldn't even call it traditional. It's not conventional, but it's what's sold to the majority of the public, the 60-40 kind of like model that financial advisors would share with clients, right? And at the time of recording, your traditional 60-40 model, just and for newer listeners too, by the way, financial advisors would look at your age and then they would say, build a portfolio for you, which essentially when you're younger, they would allocate like 60% towards stocks, 40% toward bonds. And as you get older, there's kind of a sliding scale, which moves the capital allocation more towards bonds away from stocks. So it's actually when people go into retirement, basically flipped the other way around, right? Where the majority is in bonds versus stocks. But at the time of recording this year, the average 60-40 model is down 20%. And you have like 70 million plus baby boomers all ready to retire. Now coming to that realization, oh my goodness, this is not working. Your thoughts on just how we've seen this unfolded?
Well, today is really an amazing environment. There's so many things going on geopolitically, with the economy, with inflation, and those type of things. But even before that, really, I started to ask a lot of questions and really figure out, you know, does it really make sense to build up, you know, a nest egg towards retirement, right? And then start to withdraw money at 4%, right? I mean, what is the logic in that, right? And what is the logic in actually deferring taxes? So as you start to defer taxes, right, all you're doing is really kicking the can down the road, right? And you're going to eventually start paying ordinary income tax rates when you need that money the most. The faulty assumption they make is that they think people should be retiring poor, so you'll be in a lower tax bracket. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to retire poor. I want to retire wealthier than I am. And frankly, I don't even believe in retirement in general, right? Because it's all about actually having purpose and loving what you do and living an extraordinary life. So if you're doing that, why would you stop doing, you know, something, right? So I think there's a lot of flaws. Again, dollar cost averaging, the 60-40 model that you talked to. We have a number of financial advisors. I know a number of financial advisors that are just in a really tough spot right now, with the bond market as it is just completely destroyed. I don't know if you saw the 10-year recently, but it's basically the worst year since actually the inception of the bond market in the early days of this country. So a lot of things just really, you know, not working. And I think a lot of this has been all built upon really a house of cards in this, you know, creditism type of economy that we live in. And by the way, this is globally, right? So ever since we really moved into this fiat currency world and the dollar came off the gold standard, right? It's really become, you know, a huge challenge, right? And there's just so many links. And I think what is Warren Buffett likes to talk about, when the tide goes out, you can see who forgot their trunks, right? Yep. And we're starting to see that right now, right? Yep. All the people who've been, you know, over leveraged, you know, and you name it, in terms of, you know, different industries, different sectors, we're seeing that, or people in their personal economy, right, where they were doing things that, you know, they shouldn't based upon credit. So we're really in a difficult position. I think one that we've actually never seen, probably since, you know, the original depression in the 20s.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. One of the wealth strategy secrets of the ultra wealthy is that they make more income and grow their net worth every year and legally pay less in taxes. They also grow their capital when markets go up, down, and sideways. They grow their capital in economies that grow and boom, and in economies that are in recessions and even depressions. If you are a high income earner and trying to figure out how to legally reduce your taxes while receiving cash flow and growing your capital, Pantheon Investments have a great opportunity right now. By leveraging Pantheon Investments' holistic wealth strategy and its exclusive relationships, you can access an opportunity right now in oil and gas. This opportunity will help W-2 earners to legally reduce taxes, generate cash flow, and grow their capital. This exclusive opportunity will also position you to be on the right side of rising oil and gas prices. This is a limited offering available to accredited investors only. To learn more, go to cashflowninja.com/Pantheon. That's cashflowninja.com/Pantheon.
You know what? I just took a piece of information from the Federal Reserve website. And they post like great graphs and charts, which explain things really, really well, too. To your point, when it comes to debt, and I love the word creditism versus savings, they have this chart where it essentially like crisscrossed. You know, savings went up initially with, you know, in 2020 because there was all these stimulus checks going out and all this money being being thrown around essentially and created by central banks around the world. So you actually saw a spike initially in savings rates and then debt going personal debt. We're not even talking, we won't even get into corporate and government, whether it be federal, state, local debt. So essentially there was a time period, very brief, where there was actually an increase in personal savings and household savings and a reduction of debt. And that just crisscrossed. And now we're seeing, again, personal debt higher than ever. And the savings of families and personal savings has just plummeted. It literally just like just fell off the chart. So you're starting to see, again, where people are finding themselves having to rely on debt because of the information that they're consuming, right, which drives their decisions and behavior. A couple of other points I just wanted to bring in here. You mentioned the 4% drawdown, you know, from the 60-40 model. This is like, you know, your financial planning as it's shared with the majority of folks. They're now even saying, and this was based on the Monte Carlo, you know, model, basically, simulation, which is all, I mean, it's all made up, really, folks, if you get down to it, right? But essentially, like, that doesn't even work anymore for folks. They're even now advising, saying, we might not be able to do 3% or 4%, we should go to 3. And I'm looking at this going, so now they want folks to even draw less money of a nest egg that is down on average 20% on the year. And then the other point that I just wanted to bring in, because I think it's so important for folks to understand when it comes to this whole strategy creation process that you might be thinking through listening to this podcast, is the role that debt's playing in the economy. So debt, I mean, I love the word that you use. I think it was Richard Duncan that first used it, creditism.
Creditism, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great term because it is essentially we are living in a debt-based monetary system where essentially debt needs to keep growing for the global economy to function. As crazy as that sounds, that's where we're at. And essentially with debt, because there's so much of debt, the first thing is like economics 101. We're at this point where we've never seen so much debt ever. Well, if there's so much of it, it's not that valuable anymore, right? Economics 101. And then the interest rates that you just mentioned that went up impacts debt. And I'll just share folks, give folks an example of this. So let's just say people would ask me, and I've had a lot of conversations with folks, why would someone buy debt or invest in debt? I said, it's a great income strategy too, right? If you have the right debt that's secured and collateralized by the right asset, it's a great income strategy for the person that holds the note at that stage. So if you buy like $100,000 worth of debt, and let's just say it's 1% that they're paying you, right? there's an income stream that year, let's just say $1,000 for that year. So it's predictable income. Okay. That's one bucket, let's just say in your portfolio. But now interest rates go up, and let's just say they go up to 2%. Well, now you only need $50,000 to generate that same income stream of $1,000 for you. So what essentially has happened is the value of that debt was just cut in half. How does this fit into the global economy? Folks, they just had to bail out the public and private pensions in the United Kingdom. Yep. Because of that, because where most debt ends up is in pensions. You know, I highly recommend you read the book, Who Stole My Pension or Who Took My Pension by Robert Kiyosaki. It's one of his books. He wrote that, I think, 3 years ago. And this is essentially what's playing out. One of the things they talked about in that book is when interest rates go up and all of these pensions are filled with debt, be very, very careful, because there's going to be institutions that are running into trouble, right? Which is now happening in the UK, and it seems like it's going on in Europe. So,
right. Another point I'd like to add into that, MC, is that, so in addition to just this overall, just if you just think about the strategy and when the 401k plan was eventually created and all these government sponsored plans, right, the strategy was actually incorrect in the first place, especially if you want to actually create wealth, right? It was much more built for the middle class. But today, right, the problem is we all got that same advice. You know, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s or whatever, we all had that same advice, which is put your money in the 401k. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, high net worth investors, entrepreneurs that have sold their business, eight figure, you know, exits. The challenge is the majority of people still have 90% of their assets sitting in government sponsored qualified plans or in equity in their primary residence in the house. So what's happening to your equity right now as the, you know, as the market starts to shift, right, in the real estate space and then also in government sponsored plans, right? You have absolutely no control over what's happening, right? So you just wake up and you look at the market and you're just, you have no control over what's going on. And we're sitting at, you know, market down at the time of this recording, about 25 to 30% for the year. Right. And they always talk about being invested in equities. The strength is that you have liquidity. Well, who wants to sell when you're down 30%? Right. I mean, that's not a great place to be. So I think part of the real problem here, MC, is, you know, a lot of this comes down to education, really. Right. And understanding, you know, what's going on in terms of, you know, the world, different economics, and not being afraid to, you know, challenge certain belief systems, your own belief systems, or what you're hearing from other people. Right. Because that misguided information is not going to serve you well in times such as this.
Absolutely not. I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top five ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com. Debt, just finishing off that thought that I had too, and the debt market, if the debt market goes, which it's in the process of going, going down, imploding at the time of this recording, it affects everything. So what you just mentioned, where the majority of people have their capital, whether it be defined benefit or defined contribution plans, you know, whether it be pensions or government sponsored plans like 401ks, whether it be personal residences, houses, that'll all be very, very negatively affected. So you need a different plan. You need a different bucket where the word that you said, and this is key here, is control. Control over your capital, control over your cash flow, and control over your taxes. I know you're very passionate about that piece and talk about that quite a bit, but there's a different strategy, you know, that you can explore where you have full control and more control than the alternative, which has been, you know, obviously sold to the majority of people.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, having control is absolutely part of the strategy, right? Because if you don't have control, I mean, you're not in charge of your own chessboard, right? Someone else is doing that for you. So, you know, you want to be looking at that. And the other thing I would add to that, MC, in addition, I mean, let's talk about the elephant in the room, right? It's really currency risk, right? And the devaluation of the dollar. Right. I mean, we're calling it inflation. That's one way to look at it. But another way to look at it is really devaluation of the dollar. Right. And does that get to some type of tipping point that even if your nest egg theory, you know, had you at a certain, you know, threshold. Right. But then that dropped, you know, 40-50% or even more. You're completely out of control.
Yep.
Right. You there's no way to actually hedge against currency risk.
That's a very important point because, as I always shared, even a squirrel is smart enough to know that the squirrel needs to put away nuts to survive the winter. Right.
Right. Right.
But all of a sudden, even if the squirrel does the right thing and put away nuts to survive the winter, if the squirrel then figures out, well, he needed like double the amount of nuts than was put away because the nuts were devalued, you know, there was some nut inflation. And that's a problem too. So, and most people don't think about that, right? So I love picking your brain about risk management, you know, because that's the other thing too. And one of my businesses that is insurance, when you view the world through the lens of an insurance company, literally their business is risk management. They're in the business of managing risks, and it gives you a completely different lens. And I know we're going to dive into this a little bit with our topic, which is oil and gas. Now, this is a place where you've invested in. This is a place where Pantheon Investments is very active. There's been two funds already that you guys have put out there. And, you know, the oil and gas industry is fascinating. With all the turmoil in the world, all the chaos, all of the disruption, all this massive changes, and all the many crazy things that you can lump in there, there's massive opportunity. And this is an area where there's incredible opportunity, right? What's going on in the energy sector that you're seeing that's creating this massive opportunity?
Well, you said it so well, MC, right? Because there's a lot of doomsday analysts out there, right? And you know, the news is all about sensationalism, right? So they're, you know, they're putting all these things and basically sell, you know, fear sells, right? So that's why they're kind of, you know, filling your brain with that. But when you kind of think about it again strategically, how do you actually want to be aligned? Right. In terms of what's going on in the world and everything. And, you know, we think that with the currency risk, right, being, you know, in commodities is really a great place to hedge. And it's really interesting because we thought that, you know, oil and gas, I think, typically was more of this opportunistic type play. But in today's times, in addition to being opportunistic, it's actually a defensive play. Right. Because oil and gas is actually the mother of all commodities. It creates everything we do in civilization. I don't care what country you're from, you know, what color your skin is, what you're doing. It literally drives everything. It's the source for fertilizer. It's the source for, you know, all of the packaging. I mean, makeup that women use, right? You know, you can go through your day any day and you've got 10, 20 different products that are all petroleum based. And as much investment as there has been in the green sector, right? I mean, trillions and trillions of dollars over the past, you know, decade, it still just hasn't made a dent in terms of production and consumption and what's going on, really from a global perspective, right? It's just barely made a dent. So we think that being positioned in oil and gas right now is both a defensive play as well as an offensive play, right? Where we can take advantage of the opportunity. And like you said, this is the time, right? This is an opportunity, one of those opportunities that we've been talking about, where there is chaos, there is going to be opportunities. Well, this is it right now, because you watch, right, right after the midterm elections, and we start to see what's going to happen with oil and gas prices. But I'm telling you, they're going to go up.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is one of the plays, if we look at it from the different angles, you know, capital preservation strategy, just like you mentioned, and commodities right now, it's physical things, right? Physical things are repricing in the West, especially in the last 2 to 3 years, right? People that live across in other parts of the world, they've already seen this. You know, growing up, I've already saw this in South Africa, things repriced, essentially, with the currency essentially, you know, really, really weakening against the dollar and the pound and eventually the euro. So great capital preservation strategy. And then, you know, from a tax standpoint, this is another one of those niches where you actually get rewarded to invest in that sector. And I know you'll touch on that, but, and then there's also a great appreciation play along with the cash flow, right?
Yeah. So I think you hit the nail on the head, right? It's all about risk management, because we want to do two things with our wealth, right? We want to multiply it, but we also want to protect it. Right. And frankly, the more wealth that you get, right, when you start spending time with people from, you know, Tiger 21 and ultra high net worth people, it's all about actually preservation of capital. So risk management is really key. And one of the things about our investment thesis and what's, you know, really unique about our operating partner in this space within oil and gas is, you know, it's really a three-dimensional play. So as you pointed out, number one is with oil and gas, you can actually offset your W-2 or active income or your AGI, right? 100% of your investment is able to, you know, offset that. So that puts money in your pocket. Rather than paying Uncle Sam, you're going to pay yourself. Right. Whether the investment performs or not, you're going to get that right out of the gate, right, in year one. In addition to that, you know, again, with the way prices are trending and the advances in the space in terms of technology, how they can do seismic studies and really look at, you know, oil and doing carbon capture these days really provides a significant benefit on the cash flow side. Right. So we see nice double digit returns in terms of cash flow. And that could certainly fluctuate up again as well in terms of, you know, if prices start to lift. And then the third dimension of this is, and again, this is very unique to our model. Most operators in the space are actually just, you know, they're selling that cash flow and people are, you know, just using it more as an income stream, an income type play. But in this case, what we're doing is taking actually a subset of the assets. We're optimizing the assets and then we can sell it to either one or two buyers, right? One could be an income buyer like a pension fund, right? Who is just looking for the income play and they're happy with that. Or it could be a producer. Right. And yep. And the producer is really looking to basically just, you know, expand their footprint, increase, you know, the amount of assets and production that they have. So we're able to do that. And, you know, partners can actually share, our investors are able to share in that upside. And if the upside continues to trend the way it's trending, you know, this could be quite a significant opportunity.
So, Dave, what we've discussed in a previous episode is actually we've seen like a massive supply destruction, right? But the demand is still the same because the world still needs oil and gas and coal and nuclear. So what are some of the latest things that you're seeing out there that's impacting the supply? And also maybe you can share some of the things that you're seeing with regards to demand.
Absolutely. I think not only is demand. Demand isn't only staying put, right? It's going to continue to grow. And there's a couple of key factors. Okay, so one of them is this zero COVID policy in China that's been going on for the past several months, right? Where they're literally just locking down the population and looking for that zero COVID policy, right? So in that case, you've got, just think of how many thousands of cars are off the streets, production is slowing. So once, you know, that actually starts to pick up and lift, right, you're going to have a massive increase, right, in demand that's going to come out from that standpoint. You also have huge in terms of supply and everything. We know what's going on with the invasion of Ukraine and how that is really just crippling Europe in terms of their supply. And really, you have to, again, kind of think about this from a strategic perspective, in the sense that the infrastructure to supply oil and gas takes years and years and years to actually create. And I think Germany and Europe is really figuring out that their dependency on Russia has got them completely exposed, which is why people are going to be actually, you know, they're out chopping firewood right now, preparing for the winter. Right. And using stoves and wood pellets. I mean, that's how they're going to be heating the homes. So the prices right now, just to give you an idea, right, trading like around $34 per cubic foot of gas. Right. Whereas here in the U.S., $6 right now. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea, right, of some of the imbalance kind of that's going on. Another huge event that's going to happen, take place here soon, is actually midterm elections, right? And so the current administration has been tapping into our strategic petroleum reserves and cutting down the supply to artificially try to keep prices lower. But as soon as the elections are over, we suspect prices are going to go much higher, right? So a couple of really big events going on that I think are going to trigger, you know, only an increase in terms of prices. Demand is going to continue to grow and outpace. And again, you have to think about this again from that infrastructure perspective, which this is all happening in a time that there was very modest investment in the past 5 years in the industry.
Yeah. And that's going to catch up with them. You know, for newer listeners and folks not familiar with the oil and gas industry, this stuff, you don't change this stuff around overnight. This the capital expenditure that goes into this and the development, this takes a while for it to get essentially up and running and produce actually, you know, some commodity, right?
Absolutely.
I want to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
So what are some of the risks that investors can look at and evaluate when they look at an opportunity like this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, as I mentioned, I invested as early as 2000 into oil and gas. And, you know, it was a good investment back then. It was cash flowing. But again, we've narrowed our thesis down to, you know, really having these three different dimensions, or, you know, what I would also call really a trifecta of investments, right? Where you're getting that tax efficiency, you're getting that cash flow that's coming out, and you have an opportunity for, you know, forced appreciation, right? Where we can grow things from that standpoint. So I think that's a very unique way to do it. And basically in the sector, right, it's not, oil and gas typically is not done that way. There are a lot of ways that you can invest in it. You're not getting that tax return, tax offset. Okay. So that's, number one. Also the way people invested in oil and gas in the past used to be much more speculative in nature, right? So you might be hearing of these things, well, we drilled and we got a dry hole, right? Okay, so it was much more speculative. The technology wasn't as advanced, right? So they would go and they would be maybe a one or two hole type well. So if you didn't capture anything, then, investors lost their money. Right. So those were some of the big risks, I think, early on. But now the technology has advanced so much. Our biggest risk that we really see is the pricing, right? Because we can't control the prices. However, again, given, what we talked about, supply and demand, the current economy, we think we're very favorably positioned in terms of, how pricing could play out. And then I also think, a risk is always about a team, right? I mean, investing is a people sport, and you have to understand the people really well. The CEO, and I'm actually on the advisory board of our partner, and the CEO is a fourth generation oil guy. So we've got a ton of street credibility. He's, brought into, CNBC and Bloomberg all the time as a valued contributor there. And they've been executing, right? We've been seeing this year that they've been able to produce consistently on the passive income side, and really kind of meeting expectations so far. So that's been really good. So I think, really, to summarize, your risks, the biggest risk is again the pricing, which we have no control over, but we think we're aligned really well there. Also the team that you invest with, and that's why we also do extensive due diligence. We did due diligence for almost a year before we entered upon this relationship, and then really the uniqueness of how you invest in oil and gas, right? Because there's different models out there. And in the past, it was typically done the wrong way. But you want to be able to make sure that you go in and working with a proven operator.
For folks that are not familiar with how the leases work, because they might have heard, well, the current administration shut down a pipeline and then they canceled drilling on federal lands, right? These are all private leases on private lands, correct?
Yeah, correct. So we do not touch any of the federal lands. So that really doesn't apply to us. And, it's a lot cheaper to actually just purchase a lease on a land versus purchasing the lease. It would really be cost prohibitive. But that's the first step of our asset where, we're acquiring these leases from the landowners. And then once we're able to drill and identify that there's, oil below or gas reserves, then we can actually drill into perpetuity. If there's no gas or oil that's found, there's a certain time period, usually maybe about a year or two, where the land would get reverted back to the owner. And another point on this that I'll add as well, and kind of ties back into the risk as well, is the way that we are operating is we will actually buy land leases in a multi-basin strategy, right? So we're really kind of diversifying across different, like say five different states, which have different basins, and a different really, makeup of the geography, right? And what we're able to capture. So that provides a little bit of diversification there. And then another component to the diversification is that the mix is 50-50 oil and gas. So in some cases, we might actually uncover significantly amount, more gas, right, than oil in a particular well. So that's a natural hedge that's kind of built into the model as well.
Dave, what type of investor is this a good fit for? Because I know that there's a lot of folks that are exploring different ideas, especially right about the time of recording. And when you're listening to this, a lot of folks are reevaluating maybe their tax strategy with their tax strategist and doing some final year-end planning. What are some, who are some of the folks that should definitely at least take a look at this industry and in this niche?
Well, our offering is for accredited investors only, right? So that's one piece. But yes, as you point out, it is fourth quarter of 2022. And really from a strategic perspective as well, just to give you an idea of how well this is thought out, MC. So if you invest now in 2022, you're going to get that 100% deduction that's going to go against your W-2 income. So you would be able to take advantage of that. Now, the business model actually consists of a series of exits, not one exit like in other asset classes and everything where you're waiting for, say, a five-year hold to do that exit. Well, we're going to have a series of exits to actually get principal back to investors as soon as possible. When that happens, you can then take the capital and there will be a future fund, which in oil and gas, you can also do a 1031 exchange. So we'll be able to roll into any gains that you've had will be able to be offset in this 1031 exchange. You'll get your principal back. The monthly distributions are counted as a return of your capital, right? So there's no taxable event on that as well. And so we're able to just really strategically, if you think about that from a tax standpoint, really optimize the tax efficiency over the long cycle, right? Even into the next and subsequent investments. So that's a really strong benefit to, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, and you can really optimize your taxes. That's a huge benefit. We also have tons of other, you know, high income individuals looking to offset their taxes. And again, with this type of investment, you know, unlike say a land easement where maybe you get 4-to-1 on your taxes, but you don't get anything from it, you know, you'll actually get an investment on top of this, you know, you'll get cash flow and you'll get the tax efficiency. And with bonus depreciation sunsetting, you know, going into next year, I mean, this should definitely be an asset class, I think, that people want to consider. You know, again, if you're high income, if you're a business owner, things that really, you know, can move the needle for you.
Right. Where can folks learn more about you, Pantheon Investments? Where can they follow you and where can they get in touch and reach out for more information?
So people can just go to our website, pantheoninvest.com. They can join our investor club and they'll be able to actually, you know, take a look at the opportunity. Glad to have a conversation. I know we've also created a special link as well, MC, that we can put in the show notes through Cashflow Ninja. But that's really the best place to reach out and happy to, you know, share more. But this is definitely an asset class, as we talked about, to consider, you know, given where we are in this economic climate, geopolitical climate, not only from, you know, an opportunistic standpoint, right, that we think there's tremendous opportunity, but also from a hedging standpoint as well.
That link that we established for Dave and Pantheon Investments can be accessed at cashflowninja.com/Pantheon. And Pantheon is spelled P-A-N-T-H-E-O-N. Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show again and just providing so much value for all of my listeners and viewers out there. Always have a blast having you on for discussions.
Yeah, always such a pleasure as well, MC. Really grateful for the opportunity to connect with the audience and really, you know, get focused, right, in terms of what's going on in the economy today and get focused and take control because now is the time.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of our listeners and our viewers for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. You can also subscribe to our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. Until next time, live infinitely.
presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.